shall we pray. Heavenly Father, remember that Brother Branham brought a message, God in simplicity, before he was dealing with the opening of the seals. And at that time, Lord, when it was over, he said he did not realize how simple it really was. And we know, Lord, that is still the secret. We pray tonight, therefore, you'll lead us in simplicity, that you might give us the truth, Lord, in a way that it's easily taken to heart and assimilated and become just a real part of our lives, Lord, by virtue of the fact that it is revelation and we're building on it. Building on truth, Lord, and with truth. And then we pray, Lord, you'll so solemnize and sanctify us to the word of truth that we might always want to be precious children that glorify your name and walk in the light, not just in the faith, Lord, that is delivered to us, that passive faith, but also wherein there is an active faith, where we might show forth your praises and show forth our love and demand of ourselves, Lord, that we get out of the way, that you might have the right of way in our lives. Teach us your word more perfectly tonight and help us in all things. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now we're on number 5 tonight, I guess it is. Last Sunday, all I really did was get down to reading notes and making an awful lot of comments, and it took about an hour and a half. So we're going to start again tonight, just read what we went through, and then we're going to go on to the reading with Brother Branham on page 12. Now, Brother Branham on page 11 was either reteaching or simply emphasizing by repetition that as Eve produced for Satan the seed that was a hybrid, a mongrel, or an illegitimate son, instead of the seed word child of God, because she left the word. So today the church as a woman or bride is bringing forth children unto Satan instead of God, having left the word. Now I wasn't going to comment on that, but something struck me. And I want you to notice that when Eve left the word and then desired to fulfill the command of God, having left the word, she entirely botched that command. So therefore, if you have any thoughts of ever living a sanctified life and showing forth your active faith, or ever demonstrating your loyalty to Jesus Christ, and you want to bring forth good works, I'm going to tell you flat, you will bring forth a bastard instead of a true child of the word of promise that you are dealing with, if you are off that word. You see, let's get it. If a certain law is established, don't try to change it. See, you're dealing with the word of life. And if you hold that life sacred, you keep it intact, you keep it the way God wanted it, it's going to bring forth that life that is in there. And all word of God is living. Now remember, the church started out at Pentecost. Went to Ephesus and Corinth and Rome and Thessalonica and all these places. And there was great divine healing. There were tremendous things done. But today you have churches that attribute healing unto the devil and even deny anything about it. Yet they take the word of God, say, this is the Bible. Church of Christ said, we speak only where the Bible speaks, and blah, blah, blah. They're just the biggest bunch of dyed-in-the-wool liars and hypocrites you ever saw. So you tell me how the life of the word is going to operate. I don't care what they bring forth. Oh, bring forth a million more than 54. Brother Bill, I sat with him. Oh, such a lovely spirit. Oh, shut up. You make me sick. Now, if you deserve that, fine. If you didn't, you know I'm just talking to let you know the emphasis. Hey, come on. Who are we dealing with, God or a bum? Is God a figment of the imagination? Is he somebody we conjured up? Is this something that is not real? Is this merely entertainment? Like in my prayer talking about Brother Branham, the simplicity, is not that simplifying everything? No, don't get me preaching. I'll start over again.
Brother Branham on page 11 was either reteaching or simply emphasizing by repetition. That's a mode of teaching. That is, Eve produced for Satan a seed which was a hybrid, a mongrel, an illegitimate son, instead of the seed word child of God, because she left the word. See, but still wanted to go through with it. So today the church as a woman or bride is bringing forth children unto Satan instead of God, having left the word. Since only those born again by the word can inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Peter, the lack of the true word of God brings forth either barrenness or hybrids. And according to Paul, the hybrids are far more numerous than the children of God. Book of Galatians. So it is evident that the true church is even now very few in numbers, and only a very few will be in the rapture, as only 8 people as a type went into the ark. This condition prevails in spite of what the church claims or attempts to prove to be different, especially through those mission ministers extraordinaire, their intelligentsia, their heads, who, like the Sanhedrin, determine what God is and any relationship we have to Him. Come by the church, come by the church, come by the church, come by the church. God is not in His church, He's in His Word. Why not? He is the Word. So now we're going to read. Now remember, Brother Branham is talking in this vein on page 11, and we're coming to page 12, and he comes against the system, and particularly the prelates. And they are pinned down, of course, as blind leaders of the blind. And so they are the ones, if they ever got sight, ever got moving, they would have people moving with them, because the sheep hear the voice, and the dog hears the bark. The cats hear the meow meow. Just that simple. Just that simple. Law of nature. God set it in order. That's the way it is. Now, but every man, no matter whether he's pope, priest, bishop, whatever he is, he dies because he's a hybrid. Now, he's genetically dead on the grounds that the human race dies. Everything dies. We've seen examples of vast extinction. No doubt there were dinosaurs. You can't say there weren't. I know some Christians would like to blind their eyes and plug their ears and say, no, there never were. That's just something we don't all want, but, you know. Hey, they were here. They're gone. Death. Everything. Stones erode. They erode slowly. How do they do it? Well, the rain comes down on the granite even. Leaves fall in there, forming an acid. You say, well, my goodness me, that might take a million years. Might take a million years. Who's counting? Everything decays. Everything that has to do with time decays. All right. Now, the death was brought in there, in particular to the human race, because of what Eve did. He's a hybrid. That's exactly. Now, he was born between Satan and Eve. They may call it whatever you want. It was Satan and Eve. In other words, he's telling you it's Satan and Eve, even though there was the beast included, which he came out of the earth the same as Adam and Eve did. There was that field we're talking about, and she was adapted to it. So the serpent planted his seed there. Now remember, Adam was between angels and mankind, or the animals. He stood right in there by himself. The missing link, of course, is the serpent. Not a monkey or an ape or anything else down there. All right, every man, no matter whether he's a pope, priest, bishop, whatever he is, he dies because he's a hybrid. That's exactly right. He was born between Satan and Eve. They may call it whatever you want. It was Satan and Eve. The original word had nothing to do with that. That's exactly true. The original word was light. Didn't tell her and the serpent. It said Adam and Eve. He hybridized it and it brought death. And when the church today that's called themselves Pentecostals, called themselves Baptists, whatever they want to call themselves, when they hybridize this word with dogmas, it produces dead children. See? And she can't have any life in her. She's dead and her children are dead. Now, Brother Branham is speaking now of, like he said, Philip was a seed carrier. And Philip had the seed. That's why when that eunuch was calling for help concerning the scripture, God said, hey, join yourself to that carriage because there's a man there needs help. And Brother Branham called him a germ bearer, a seed bearer. Now, they had the privilege, by the word of God, bearing that seed, that living word, which would have brought forth. Now, they blew it. Now, they got the type of that thrown into the churches in reality. When they don't have the word, they cannot bring forth life. Now, this goes right to the end where you come right to the tree of life, where you've got to have an antidote. The antidote is spoken of by Paul. I show you a mystery. We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. Like Brother Branham said, when the dead come out of the ground, that's just a figure of speech. And when you see them, a sweep passes over you. You get your change. See? Now, the denominations cannot bring that to pass. See? They can't do it. Why? Because the children are being born now. Let's face it. They come out of the earth. Right? These bodies are earth. The sperm and the egg, earth. Now listen. Jesus was begotten from the dead. Said that many times. He just wasn't begotten. This day have I started my generations in thee. This day have I begotten thee was spoken concerning the dead. That's coming forth from the ground. Now what did it? How did he come forth and those saints with him? Because they came forth. How was it done? There's only way it could be done, by the living word, the absolute manifestation of God in human flesh. Had to come right back to original word. Right back to the tree of life. You got the thing right today. God manifesting himself in human flesh. And see what's going to happen if that word, the true principles of life, are going to hit the soil. Because Brother Branham said, God will create again, not by sex, but by the resurrection, bringing forth the calcium, the potash, the minerals, the oil, whatever there's there. How many elements? I don't know and I don't care. But it's going to come forth. And you see, it can only come forth on the correctness of the human race or that those children of God where they haven't left the word. So you can have a preacher punch you around and tell you the big thing is the walk. And I'm going to tell you that's a lie from the pit of hell. It is not the walk. Because you can't have a baby produced unless there's life. Then you can talk about a walk. So your Nazarenes, the Church of Christ, and the rest are all gone haywire. I remember some of you sitting here going haywire. Because you're trying to get the cart before the horse. What are you trying to make baby clothes for if you can't get pregnant? The Bible speaks they can't bring the children to birth. And it's like a belly full of gas, wind, and they pass it, and there's no birth at all. It's a false and a phony birth. You ever seen a woman pregnant by her own imagination? A woman right in Troy, her name was Esther somebody. Anybody remember her name? What's her name, Alice? Remember her? Penny. Carried away with that waist up with Vic Worwell. Decided she's going to have a child by the Holy Ghost. Her belly began to swell. She went that way for years. You got any swollen bellies here today? Spiritually speaking? See what he's trying to tell you? Life. Word. Don't get away from that word. Well, Brother Bill, now I can live like the devil. Shows you already plumb going to hell and have no sense in your head at all. You're not born again. Go to Jones. Of course, unless you're young and 16, he'd boot you out. I'm going to sit the thing true. I'm not here to fool around. You're not here to fool around. Let's get the nitty-gritty. Hey, before there's a sperm and an egg, there's got to be life. The sperm and the egg are only carriers. Now, if you don't have the right carriers, you've got hybrids. You think God's going to have a resurrection of anything but word, 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 word? Nothing but word, word, word. The body of Jesus Christ is word, word, word. He piles word upon word upon word. And listen, there cannot be a resurrection. There will not be a resurrection until there's a restoration of God's word, and that's the third chapter of the book of Acts, and that can't happen unless it's a true healing revival to show you it's not the same dead old tired message, but a new one. And the new message is the forerunner of the second coming, which entails what? Shout, voice, trumpet. Now, how do you know? You got to send Elijah. See there? Now, these guys right here, they get together and all they're a bunch of hybrids. They're dead. They're producing dead children. Dead in trespasses and sin. Twice dead, plucked up by the roots. And when you're talking about plucked up by roots, you got to go back to Malachi, leaving neither root nor branch. You listen, you don't just cut around the word of God and say, oh, there's fire here, and there's fire there. Hallelujah. There's fire at the end and only fire at the end. Ripping of the roots is at the end. Burning is at the end. Gathering is at the end. Don't try to put it some other place. Not around Lee Bill anyway, I tell you that. I'm not that stupid. I can tell you something. You may think I live like the devil. That's your choice. But I can sure preach like an angel of God that's anointed with truth. Yes, you better can. Because I do preach the truth. Amen. You won't find me like Koresh or somebody else. Don't worry. I'll be gone. Don't bother anybody. I can't take anybody with me either. That's God's business, not mine. Stand on 2 feet. Listen, I rock anybody. Leaving that word and then think something else will substitute is a bunch of junk. You can go through a test tube baby, but it's still got to have living sperm to get it. It's got to have the egg there that is healthy in order to get it. We are now dealing with life, and life intrinsic. He said, the words that I speak, they are spirit, they are life. And he tells you flat, life is spirit, and spirit is life. But he is pinpointing it to his own life. Now he said, if you want my life, he said, you got to have my word. And that means no distortion, because it tells you right there, in vain do you worship me, having for traditions, having for doctrine the traditions of men. What man says. Now, go ahead and listen. Here's what Brother Branham said concerning this filthy church at the end time. God said, I'll throw her in a bed. Now, this is the Pentecostals. I didn't finish it, did I? Now, I said, they may call it what they want. It says Satan and Eve. The original word had nothing to do with it. The original word was life. He'd hybridized it, and it brought death. And when the church today that calls themselves Pentecostal, Baptist, whatever they want, have hybridized the word of dog with fruits of dead child, and there's no life in her, she's dead and her children dead. And God said, I'll throw her, Pentecostal, a bunch, in a bed of worldliness and kill her children. That's great tribulation. When's he going to do it? He's just doing it now. God said so in Revelation. How many knows that's true? Put her in a bed of worldliness. That's where she's at. Kill her children, even with fire. See, the fire is the second death, you see. We watch where. What happens to the tares? That's among the wheat. You think Brother Branham made a little bit of a mistake there? I think the wheat's among the tares. But it's still true that tares are amongst the wheat. They're still sitting in the same pews with the bride, because every place has the three kind of people in it: Christian believers, so-called, make believers, unbelievers, and believers. Oh, if you don't believe that, you are dumber than a dodo. Your spiritual life is completely extinct, as I can tell you that. Now listen, he said, we watch where what happens to the tares that's among the wheat. Well, of course it's true. That's where they get threshed together. And so they're among each other. But I just want to let you know what I'm thinking about this. There are many more tares than there is wheat. And the Bible said, come up from among them and be a separate. But the funny thing is this, that they're bundled for the burning before the bride will be separated by the word. We're bundled unto God by the Holy Spirit, the living word. They're bundled unto Satan by the dead word, creeds, and dogmas, where they have hybridized the word. So this is the word of God. This is the word of God. Sure, read it out of the Bible. I tell you, the Catholics did their dead level best to destroy this word by perverting it. And they went to the Greek, to the Latin, the Vulgate. And then they begin putting that in English and back and forth. And they try to make it stick when it concerns purgatory and everything else. But I'm going to tell you, this Bible is so tricky. It's so marvelous that you could never, ever switch it and make it stick, because it's just like a sore thumb. It keeps poking up someplace else and poking up someplace else. Oh, yeah, I read the Douay version, and I've got Monsignor Knox's, and I've got them all. And I must admit, they all are all very good. And a lot of places, they like the Concordant version. They try to fool you. They try to make every word come out just exactly at the same word in every same place. And they ended up so foolish that they said sin entered in death by sin, and they had a death entering, and therefore man sins because he's dying. That's a lot of bunk. I know what I'm talking about. I got all that stuff at home in my library. Maybe a bunch of junk's back there. I don't know. But I'm just letting you know how ridiculous this whole thing is. See? Now we watch the tares. See there? Oh, you can't make the word of God lie. It's the truth. See, the tares are going to be burned. Sometimes you scruple up, and we might make it wrong, but if you'll keep it running straight, it will run 1-2, 1-2, 1-2 right on. That's just like the parallels in Scripture. To two vines. If you know that what the two vines is all about, you can sort the Scripture out so fast whether it belongs to you or somebody else. You just got to be on your toes. Okay, Brother Branham is quoting from Revelation over here, the second chapter. So we'll just run over there and look at it, because it's Scripture and it's good for us. All right, 18. And when unto the angel, the messenger of the church which is in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. I know thy works and charity, love and service and faith, and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Now you see what happened. They let the women come into the church and start running things. And of course, that false prophetess, she's a system. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Now notice what her fornication is there. You know, spiritual idolatry. Behold, I will cast her into bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I'll kill her children with death. That's the second death, the lake of fire. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and hearts, and I'll give unto you every one of you according to your works. Now listen, notice in there what he says. He said, I am he which searches the reins and hearts, and give unto every one. You know something? That never took place till this hour. So, the prophetic utterance of this whore and her children throwing into the tribulation is only now. And it's worldliness. Her bed is a bed of adultery. She's made her bed with the world. She is not cohabiting and having spiritual times with Christ to bring forth spiritual children. She's not interested. A million more and 54 and how many more? I don't know. Now, but I say unto you, now search her in, I'll give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, so on, right down the line. So Brother Branham was dealing with that scripture. Then if a denomination can only bring forth a hybrid child, why do you want to belong to it? Now you see, they don't believe him for a minute. Now, brethren, that's the reason I'm against it. She's a whore to begin with. Now you see, there again they don't understand. A whore is a whore is a whore. When did she go to her whoredoms? The first woman did it. So how are you going to get rid of your typing? Hey, you can't make a male prostitute a homosexual fetus. He's called a dog in Scripture. That's what he is. Oh, mama mia. They sure hit those things right, don't they? The point is this, now this is a whore. Why do you think Brother Branham kept saying Eve the prostitute? He wasn't branding her as a filthy woman as though he makes all women filthy. He's telling you something. When you hit the scripture here and he's preaching, you better know what he's talking about. And he's taking it right back where this woman got off the word and bore the serpent deceit. People can say what they want, but even common sense would make you to understand there cannot possibly a God who would make a couple of which the man was in his image and take their posterity, his own children, and destroy them through sin and throw them in the lake of fire. No way. No way. The scripture said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts, how much more will the Heavenly Father give good gifts than of asking? The same scripture said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts, how much more will the Heavenly Father give you the Holy Ghost if you ask it? I said, you're evil and you know a little bit about good, then take a look at me. You think for 1 minute God predestinated one of his children to go to hell and burn the lake of fire and be this and that? Come on, smarten up. See the parallels in the scripture. Two vines, two vines, two vines, two vines. Good and evil, blessing and cursing. Tree of life, tree of death. Jesus, Judas. Son of perdition, son of man. Only people like us know the truth. Let's face it. We're not here to bother about anybody else. I'm not running around the world, neither you. If you testify a bit, that's great, but don't cast your pearl before swine either. Anybody that can't tell oink oink from ba ba, something wrong with him, nothing wrong with the Word of God. Now listen, this is thus saith the Lord, that Brother Branham is talking here. From the book of Revelation and by Revelation, she's a whore to begin with. The Bible said she was a harlot. These are plain words, but I told you I was going to talk plain today. That's what she is. She commits spiritual fornication by taking dogma and creed instead of the word, teaching her children to do the same. Now remember what happened when they came out in the Exodus from Egypt. Who was there waiting for them? Balaam with his gifts. What's the big stir now in the Branham so-called ministry and all? Oh, we got to have gifts in the church. And the phony balonies are running up and down the aisles. And they're trying to discern. And the discernment is a flop. But you've got some money-minded preachers. Some guys that don't matter as long as you have a big crowd and somebody rolling the door in. Bring them in. Bring them in. Not here. We kick them out. Kick them out. Preachers I'm talking about now. Come on. What kind of a man do you think I am if you're going to all constantly going to have foxes in the hen house? Oh, they sneak in, don't worry, but they also sneak out too. Now her children are coming from the womb dead. Well, Brother Ben, hey, listen, man, what are you talking about? We have the most marvelous revival in our church. Those alcoholics, those filthy drunks, those women beaters, those bank robbers, those terrible people, they're coming in and they're glorifying God. Hey, now, just a minute here. Could be a bunch of foolish virgins. Could be. But you better not bank on too many, because we just don't know their numbers either. But I'm going to tell you, many more are the children of the one that's desolate than she that's got a husband. And I want to tell you, Hagar and the rest of them can outproduce a Sarah any old day in the week. And remember, Sarah is our mother from above, and she hasn't got very many children. And I want you to notice something, too. When Eve got put down by God for what she did, he said the problem is going to be multiplied conception from now on for women. Now, notice how she wanted to get fertile by this animal, and she got fertile by him. She got fertilized by him. Now, women that are barren today are taking fertility pigs, and they're literally farrowing out like pigs something, 6 and 7, 8 at a crack, maybe. Where do you find that obnoxious junk in the Bible? See, there's no regard for God in His Word. There's no regard for anything. Take everything in your hands and do what you want. Oh, my. Now her children are coming from the womb dead. She's got to die. That's exactly right. Just the same as every man. Listen, just as sure as every mortal person that breaks the womb of a woman will die, or breaks forth from, is what he's saying, will die. So will every person that's born of them die. Because they're a hybrid, illegitimate, and her children are illegitimate. That's correct. I hope that doesn't go over your heads. He's talking about denominations and those who corrupt the Word and stand by and say, this is the Word of God, in contradistinction to the evidence that it is not. And that's our day. Now, Adam had a bride. Jesus had a bride. Jehovah had a bride. You know that? He had to put her away. She became a whore, so he put her away. That's exactly what he said. That's what he did do. She became a whore, a prostitute. What caused her to do that? I wish we had time to read it. I may get to it after all. But right now, it was the time of Samuel, when Israel had a king, when had God as a king. And Israel was a virgin. Now, Israel had God as their king, was a theocracy. She was a virgin. She was going to produce something. That's why she was in the land. She was to produce, first of all, an intimate, loving relationship with her God, who identified himself by signs and wonders and her deliverance in such a tremendous way that she couldn't help but love him. And when she recognized her God and what he did, then she loved him. That's the way marriage should be, too, but forget it. We're in the 20th century hogwash. But anyway, this is the Bible. A theocracy. She was a virgin. God was her king. She's going to produce something. And what happened? Between the time when she would have produced her consorting with the one true God and the marvelous Word, she begins looking around. Ay, ay, ay. She was idle. She began to look around to see the other nations that had kings, so she wanted to be like the rest of them. In other words, Israel wanted God to relinquish a pure theocratic order for a carnal order that would invoke God rather than let God lead. That's what we got today. All with this prayer, oh Lord, do something. Oh God, this. Oh God, that. Well, I say, oh God, it's time we learn to shut up. It's time we learn to sow walk, which is a type of sowing. We will get back the desires of our heart, which desires are in the Word here. And if you begin really shuffling through your life and I shuffle through mine, there is nothing that I want or you want above what is already in this Word. By virtue of promise. But they wanted to take over from God. They didn't like the way God did things. First of all, they didn't like it, the fact that God let them stay down there in Egypt for 400 years. A lot of them died in misery and agony. Didn't like the fact that God did certain things. They didn't want to take the testings and the trials. And you and I don't either. That is true. Things can be very tough. God seemed to hide his face. I don't know if there was a period down there when they really heard from a prophet. I suppose they might have had him. I haven't got no record. It just said they had a good time down there, then they had a bad time down there. And the bad time was for one reason, to get them out of there. That's right. So God began moving. And some then Moses went down there with full identification. Now here's the point. From this point on, Israel could realize that God loved them. And they in turn would love God because God had manifested himself to them. See, this is where so many people in my books are so confused. How in the world can you love God if you don't even know what God you love? Or if you don't know God, how are you going to love him? Why, you see, I got this in me. Oh, you are just a stupid little fuzzy-headed girl with romantic ideas. That's all you are. You got Mr. Great coming down the road on a galloping white horse, and you're going to be the Sultana. Or whatever. Sounds like a dried-up raisin, doesn't it? Comes right down. Instead of the lush plum. Hey, listen, we are not dealing with little fables and crazy little stories. We're not dealing with romanticism. Eh? How are you going to love somebody you really don't know anything about? You got your own ideas. What if your idea and his idea doesn't coincide? Oh, there was a great love affair with Jehovah taken in that picture right there. And when the mouth of God, which was William Branham, humanly speaking, said there's only one God, hey, the love affair went right down the river, right to the sewer. Couldn't love a God like that. Then they said, foreknowledge, election, predestination, hope. Love a God like that. Ah, oh, spare me. I'm dying. You're already dead. Just putting an act on. One God. Serpents. Serpents, he couldn't have done that. Where's your love affair now? Well, people don't like my preaching. I'm glad you do. At least you pretend you do. It's fine by me. You see why I can't take what they're trying to tell me? And love some kind of an evidence of the Holy Ghost? You gotta be kidding. You're a kind old priest. You're a kind dopey old priest. Because you got spiritual amnesia. I'll stick with the renegade Jesus. He is my kind of a man. I tell you, brother, sister, things are being shaken down. What's being shaken down more than anything is the human mind and the revelation to God and the love of God and the things of God. And I tell you what, I just want my head and my whole life just so devastated and knocked out of all that junk that I just come forth staggering. Hey, I'd like that. Like the snake that sheds his skin and gets another one. This time the right kind, see? Yeah. Yeah, she had a bride. She's going to produce some. You got to look around. She didn't like God's pure theocratic kingdom. No, she didn't want God to lead. She wanted to put her two bits in. She didn't want to learn how to get out of the way, which is the greatest thing anybody can learn to do. He said, you backwash Pentecostals. I don't know what that means, but it sure sounds good. That's exactly what you've done, see? Got yourself organized. When this old preacher, that brother Kidd sitting there, nearly 100 years old today, when Pentecost broke loose back there, you couldn't tell them anything about an organization. They wouldn't listen to that. They called that the things of the devil. And those men were right. And what did they do? What did you do? You had to act like the rest of the church. You had to organize it. Then, as he said, you drew fences around you. Went to teaching sensationalism. Feelings, glory to God, hallelujah. This way, jump up and down, speak in tongues. Put him in as a member. He's got it. He's not even baptized right, neither with water nor with the Spirit. He's wrong. His fruit's proven. He's got the wrong kind of seed to grow on. Wrong seed, wrong water, too. Bless God, brother. We lay hands on you here and make you an elder. I tell you what, we're going to build this organization. Here it is bigger than the assemblies. That's just the way it's gone. Read the Pentecostal history and see if that isn't so. And in any of the churches. The Baptists want to outdo the Methodists. The Methodists outdo the Lutherans. The Lutherans want to outdo the Catholics. Remember Brother Sanham said the Pentecostals want them all? They're getting them all too. Because of Laodicea. Everybody wants to outdo somebody. Now he's talking about himself and these other preachers. You watch. See, that's the spirit of the organization. But Jesus said, but few there be that will be saved. Straight is the gate and narrow the way. And few there be that will find it. Just a few. If he said few, that's the word of God. That's seed. There'll be few. Not tens of billions and billions. Now he stretched that one. He should have stuck with the tens of millions. I think he made a slip on that one. No problem. It's just, he's illustrating. It'll be just a futile to find it. And I do admit the truth here that the number is so few, you might as well put millions or trillions. Because few's few. Yep. Just a comparison. Those that are predestinated to it, they'll hear it. Now, the former rain has gone forth now. Now, Brother Branham hadn't even preached the seals. But he's telling you, in the context of this prophetic message and what it's all about, that former rain will have gone forth before the fire falls. Brother Branham just wasn't too good at future perfect tenses, that's all. But he knows what he was saying, and I know what he's saying, and you know what he's saying too. Now, Jehovah had a bride that he loved, but she went a-whoring. What did she do? Went after the other powers of the world. And what did he do with this godly old anointed prophet, which the word of the Lord comes with the prophet? He carried that old prophet Samuel, walked up to him, and he said, children, gather around me, men of this. His language here is a bit garbled. What he's telling you flat is that God loves Samuel. Here's a poor old dear man, beard way down here, white hair and all. And he's never done anything but good to Israel. He's thoroughly represented God. He's been leading him right through the theocratic system the way God wants. And they said, Samuel, we want us a king. Now, we know that you can approach God. We know you got thus saith the Lord. We know you got discernment. Now, Samuel, tell you what. We want us a king. So Brother Branham is commiserating with this poor old fella with all the air out of his balloon now. What's with these people? What is with these people? You give them gold, they want uranium, platinum. You give them what? Give them manna? They're not satisfied with, but they don't get hummingbird tongues. Richly laced with caviar and some type of liqueur or something. These guys don't know what they want. When the thing's there that they really need from God and can satisfy them, and they got the whole world in their hand because God is on their side, and they're on God's side, now they walk away from God as they walk away from Samuel. That's what Brother Branham is trying to show you here, and it has to do with his own ministry. And Samuel said, children, gather around me a minute. I want to talk to all of you. Why do you want a king? Jehovah is your king. Why do you want a creed? The Bible's your creed. The Bible's the truth. The creeds are lies. Your dead man made apostles' creed. Now, that's coming right down today, and William Branham. Show me that in the Bible. Where's the apostles' creed in the Bible? Who ever heard of such a thing? I believe in the communion of the saints. Anybody that believes that in communion of the saints is a spiritualist. Communion with the dead, there's only one intercessor between God and man, that's Christ. And he's not dead, but he's alive forevermore, raised from the dead. Protestants swallowed that down with a round collar, and I don't know what else. With all the catechisms, the churches swallowed right down just the same. They love it, sure, like the rest of the world. Now, what kind of a God are they loving? That's the question. Okay, let's go to Hosea. Hosea 2, 1 to 5. Say unto your brethren, Ammi and your sister Ruhamah, plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore be put away for her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked, and set her as the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst, and will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. For their mother hath played the harlot, she hath conceived them. She that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I'll go after my lovers, that they may give me bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. In other words, this woman's not trusting God. The church is not trusting God. That's why she ends up in the book of Revelation with everything and loses it all. Hey, look, if you've got the Creator, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? See, now she blew it. Okay. Now, 14 to 23. Therefore, behold, I'll allure her and bring her to the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her her vineyards from thence, and the valley of bitterness for a door of hope, and she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, thou shalt call me Ishi, that's the husband, thou shalt no more call me Valley, that's like Lord, you see, governor. But I'll take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more remember it by their name. Now, I believe that speaks to the bride, which has to do with you and me. And in that day I'll make a covenant with them, for them, for with the beasts of the field, with the fowl of the heaven. See, the millennium's coming up. The creeping things of the ground, break the bow and the sword, and the battle, and I'll battle out of the earth, and make them lie down safely, and betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I'll betroth thee unto me in righteousness, and in judgment, and in loving kindness, and in mercies. I'll even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. See what I'm talking about? It's all there. Brother Branham said it. You don't have to be a preacher and be a teacher and know what I'm talking about. This is right here in the Scripture. Tells you what she did. Now he's going to bring her back. Started right there in the garden. Adam was the husband. She was the wife. She played the harlot to him. Brought forth this terrible seed. Inundated the whole human race. God, by foreknowledge, election, predestination, brings it out. Now in the end days, the church is in the whorish condition of the third chapter of Revelation, the Laodicean, Nicolaitan complex. She's a mess. Naked, wretched, miserable, that's not a broken down whore. Now let's get real crude. Who's she going to pick up while she lies in the ditch out there drunk and peddles herself? I'll tell you who she's going to get. A bunch of dope addicts and rubby dubs that can't see past their eyes. Yeah. Like pretty picture, eh? Pretty picture. That's the church. Oh, we're rich in goods and don't lack a thing. Look how wonderful we are. And even John got carried away. She's so beautiful. Everything's like big churches, everything. And God said, just a minute, what are you marveling for? But you know, later he gave the picture New Jerusalem, and John forgot all about it. We've been looking upward, brother, sister. We don't care two bits for this stuff. Let her go, Charlie. Anytime, any day, let her go. I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's going to see us through. Yep. I tell you, that's God's truth tonight, because it's right in his holy word, and there's nobody going to change it for 15 seconds. Oh, you know, we used to be Pentecostal. We stood down in the corner with a tabret in our hands and prayed, and women standing there with their long hair hanging down and praising God and things like that. Oh, my goodness, you know better than to do that. Let us do it now. They would laugh right in your face, a real Christian would, standing out there in with a pot of bobbed hair like that and a big pan of paint on like that and a dress look like a skinned-down wiener and going out like that and call yourself there a saint of God. Now, you see what Brother Branham is doing there. He's letting you know that if you'd honored the Word, if you'd been honored the true Word in the first place, you wouldn't have to have one thing said about this. Now we're looking at works. Do you think a real born-again woman would qualify as a skinned-down wiener looking like that blob of gunk? Nah, she knows better. She just knows it. You tell me a fox doesn't know how to catch chickens because he's a fox, and you're going to tell me a sheep doesn't know how to be sheepish? No, brother, sister, something wrong with the church today. Something radically wrong. Something radically wrong. Like Brother Brown said many times in messages, he said, "Don't." He said, "I'm going to tell you, that life is there. You just give it room. It'll come out. It'll come out. Do's and don'ts and ifs and ands and buts. Oh, that's very good, you know. Yeah, you can do it. 15 minutes a day I pray. 15 minutes a day I read the Bible. 15 minutes a day I talk to sinners. And 15 this and 15 that. Well, that's nice of you. It's all right. I'm not going to fuss about it. But that's not it. Are you born again? Sure, you're born again. See, you know better than that. So does the world know better than that. Shame on you. You better stay off the corner. If you can't produce any more than that, I'm not critical. I'm not beside myself. I wanted to ask you a question. If a man tells the truth, is that criticism? No way, shape, and form. Truth, truth, criticism, criticism. The truth is a critique, but it's not criticism. The truth is a standard. You go by it. The truth is irrevocable. It's unchanging. The truth is God. Wrapped in letters, if you want to put it that way, but also manifestation. I'm not beside myself. I'm telling you the truth. And you'll find out that in the days to come. Oh, you'll find that out. But it's just like it's always been, and it always will be over, and But it's just like it's always been, and it will always go over, and then they won't see it until it's too far. In other words, they always see things too late. They did it every time. They've done it in this age. Jehovah's bride wanted to go hurrying like the rest of them. That's what Jesus' bride wanted to do. And old Samuel, who the word came to. Who did the word come to? Prophets. And what did that old prophet walk up and say? Now, just a minute, children. Why do you want to go out after that? He said, have I ever told you anything in the name of the Lord but what come to pass? Now, Brother Brown's talking about himself, and don't you miss this because this is the truth. Remember that? How many of you heard that? Sure you have. Have I ever told you anything in the name of the Lord but what came to pass? Now, he's talking about himself. Another thing, did I go out holding big campaigns? Woo-hoo. And so forth, and taking all your money away from you? Huh? Roberts and Allen, the rest of them? Did I? He said, did I ever beg? I'm talking about Samuel now. Okay, Samuel Branham, I hear you clear. Somebody the word of the Lord comes to. Hey, look. I want to show you something here. Never, never. Where am I going to turn? Huh? Acts 3. Thank you. We have a diligent student in this, and he's using his brains. Great. That's 100% correct. It's at this time. You don't start with Moses, you start with Samuel. It's right there. It says in here, and Moses truly said, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up, and so on. And it said, yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after. There's the one when they turn from God being their king. So William Branham comes and reminds them, points them right back to their king there in the pillar of fire. Said, when did I take your money? When did I ever do any? Come on, nail it to me. Come on, pin me down. I challenge you. Not only on thus saith the Lord, but my character. Oh, that bunch of heathen. Yeah. Now they died with big campaigns and taking your money. Did they ever beg any? I'm talking about Samuel now. Someday, somebody the word of the Lord came to or comes to. He said, did they ever ask you to take or put so much in, such and such? No, they said, no, you never did that. You never did tell us anything but what was right. Hundreds of times. He said, then why would you want to go out after that? What about today, see? Ecumenism. They said, Samuel, you are so right. But we want it anyhow. Where's their conscience? No more than a snake got hips. Seared like a hot iron. But you see, because of their conscience, they had to say something. And when they did, they went right on. See, that's just exactly what the Pentecostal church did. That's the reason I don't join with them. Certainly I want to stay a virgin before God with His Word. I don't have any great big shows and things like this. I refuse it. I don't want to get myself tied up. That wasn't my wisdom, though. That was God's wisdom. If I had to go out so that I could preach, had to sucker around with the people, as you know, pull deals on them, and the devil to tell them, yes, I have so much and so much for telecast, and I've got so much of this, and you have to pay for it. I'd have to pull strings like that, too. But I've never told you anything in the name of the Lord, but what would come to pass, that's His ministry, see? I've never told you anything but the Word. Judge yourselves. Have I ever asked you for anything? No, sir. No, God's taking care of that. I don't have any big program to support. I wouldn't have one. Everyone that belongs to God will hear God. Oh, man, he sure ripped that to pieces in one sentence, didn't he? What's your program going to do if God's not in it? And if your big program is going to stop him from getting to God, do you think it's going to stop him? What about me sitting there with 3,000 people that night? I believe before God I'm the only man that sat there and the voice inside of me spoke. If you ever listen to anybody, that's the man you'll listen. I'm not saying I know that to be true. But where's the evidence of somebody else standing up? So you haven't got it. How many people have preached Brother Branham, the prophet, the vindicated God, the vindicated prophet? They're all right, they can't quote him anymore. Well, I can't quote them. I don't call them my friends. I don't want them in my mind. I don't want to think anything to do with them. Everyone that belongs to God will hear God. Just feel led of the Spirit, where to go and what to do and do that. That's all that's necessary. That's for William Branham. It's good for anybody. Keep that. Not a great big money-making program with millions of dollars, millions and millions and millions. Some of them now building millions and billions of dollars into it. See, now never forget this of William Branham's testimony, and he's going right back to Samuel, and he said, if you read your Bible carefully, every Christian, you will find yourself in the Bible. So, all right, we go right back to Samuel Branham. Now we go back to Paul Branham, taking his type from Moses Branham. I kid you not. I'm not making a joke. He told me himself, it's right on the tape that Harry Green led around the world. It's right on there somewhere you'll find it. We haven't had the pillar of fire for, like I said, the pillar of fire with Moses. We haven't had her 2,000 years like it was with Paul till it is now. He put himself with Moses and with Paul, William Branham. You say, hey, that guy's too big for his boots. Oh, shut up. You're just jealous. You got a mouth too big even for an ant or an acorn. Somebody better shut up. Yeah. Oh, but they love God. What God do you love? The God of your belly? Your insane imagination? I'm not talking to you people here. Who am I talking to? You'd be surprised. Well, they'll be grabbing these tapes, don't worry. I don't feel bad about criticizing. It's due criticism. Now you should use the word critiquing it. You're not criticizing. Although you could say that. This is not a criticism. This is the truth. And if the shoe fits, wear it, or if it hurts you, you better examine your corns because it's not the shoe. It's due. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I'd rather hurt some man's feelings than to hurt God's feelings. Hey, I like that. If he commissioned you and sends you out there to do these things and proved it amongst the people, then you ought to hear it. Oh, that was a pretty twist, wasn't it? He said, if he commissioned you and sends you out there and proved it, then he should have said, well, that sure makes me believe it. No, he said, you should listen. Hey, that's good preaching. I'm telling you the truth. God's proving it's the truth or to be the truth. Not only signs, but he's proving it by his word it's the truth. That's exactly right. In other words, he can take you right to the Bible. But listen, really at this particular point when he's mentioning that, he's just merely laying it on the table. They're not going to listen. Because it's going to be like Lindsay and Duplessis when he was here in Chautauqua. Just south of us. And Brother Branham, I guess he was in Hamilton that day in his hotel room. Was it Hamilton? Maybe it was the Manchester Hotel, likely. And there Lindsay and Duplessis were saying, now William Branham is a prophet. And when he's discerning and talking to you, he's fine to believe him. But when it comes to doctrine, don't believe him. He's sure off that word. And William Branham came right down and pointed his finger under their noses and told them what they said on that platform. Did they repent? Ha, ha, ha. They just said, boy, is that guy slick. You know, it doesn't pay to talk when he's around because he doesn't have to be around. But he's messed up anyway. You think they ever apologize? Oh, cool, cool, cool. We got some brothers sitting there from down in that area. What's down there today, brethren? What is down there today? Same guy tried to use me years ago, one of those guys. Well, Bill Graham went down, Lee Walters went down, a bunch of you folk, not here, not many here, went down there. This fella in the Chautauqua area, when he saw the crowd coming, oh, Brother Bill, you got to come at least once a month. He just saw the crowd and money coming, and he thought he'd get me, come and bring everybody. He'd take care of them. Ho, 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 ho. I wasn't raised on a farm, but I can tell you one thing. I know when a donkey goes, hee-haw, and a dog goes, bark, bark, and a cow goes, moo-moo, and a pig goes, oink, oink. And I heard something down there quite familiar to the farm area. Come on, who are they trying to kid? He wasn't the only guy tried to pull in on me. I flatter myself that I think you're here because you love the Word and you love me with it. So I hope so. Anyway, we'll just keep going. So it says here, now where am I at here? I was on page 1617. Okay now. So Jehovah's Bride went a-whoring. We're on page 16 at the top there. And what did she do? She brought forth a bunch of illegitimates again. Is that right? We know it's the truth. Now listen, even had to be taken away by King Nebuchadnezzar and so forth. Remember, raised up Babylon. And Babylon's going to be raised up again. And she's taking religious people, all religion, captivity. And God has raised up communism. And they're going to hit her. And remember, iron and clay, democracy, and totalitarianism exist to the end when the stone, cut without hands, comes down and destroys. So don't think Russia and the Ukraine and the rest are finished. Amen. As though they don't exist, because they do. They're still there, but they're not what we thought they were. It's Rome that you must be afraid of. But God will destroy Rome at the same time. There, Rome has a bomb with their name on it, the same as Washington, D.C. So, little children, don't worry about Washington, D.C. We just leave that with God. Now, what does he say here? She brought forth a bunch of illegitimates. That right? We know. He even had to be taken away by kingdom and so forth. Now, watch. Christ's bride has done the same thing. What's the matter? Can't wait. Oh, no. Just can't wait. Now, what does it mean? It means she doesn't understand patience. Now, she can go through everything and say, oh, listen, little children, love each other. And, you know, and you just love until you get really abused and you get shut down and even hurt and you give. And they just cry and groan. See? Oh, such patience. Wrong kind of patience. That's nice, but it's human. We're talking now of the church couldn't wait for the promise. Eve didn't wait. No church has waited. Now there's a period of anxiety. Because honestly, can you have patience without anxiety? Well, you say, if I had patience, I wouldn't be anxious. Hold it. I'm talking about an interim period where you're waiting for something and the pressure's down. Why, if you are just Cleopatra on a barge that's rowed by a bunch of slaves and they're dropping grapes in your mouth and you're having a great time, and you're impatient to go 3 miles down the river, you need a nice swift kick place somewhere. Because you aren't merely impatient. You are an absolute scrupled up idiot. Now, that's not patience when you're, you know, floating down the river having a nice time and someone's paddling and everything is just nice and lovely. I'm talking about mosquitoes and everything else biting you. You're trying to put your way through some kind of a fen or a morass out there of some wilderness area. You got it tough. Now, look, if you go to your Bibles, the book of Revelation, you're going to find lots of places in there, several places, they're talking about patience. And in there you will notice that it says in chapter 1 and 9, I, John, who also your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. John knows something about the patience of Jesus. James knows something about it. According to Scripture, our Messiah, our mediator, our intercessor is a very, very patient person. He's waited 2,000 years, roughly, for the former rain and the latter rain. There's a patience in here. And Brother Branham said the church always messes up by not waiting, but tries to manufacture something. And the Pentecostals manufactured a latter rain. You understand what he was talking about now? Now, if you're going to be identified with Jesus, you've got to be identified with his patience. And what is his patience? He's standing here full-fledged to be the judge, but he's got to wait 2,000 years for the former and the latter rain. Can't do a thing about it. He's got to wait for the entire bride to come in and be child-trained. Now, he's perfectly agreeable, has no problem at all, because he sweat drops of blood in his patience in the Garden of Gethsemane. But I want you to understand we are identifying with Mr. Patience. Pardon the expression, it sounds crude, something like Hollywood, but I mean it in sincerity. You are talking to the original patient person. Remember, he was also that seed that was to come forth. He was that one to come down here, be born by the Virgin. He's the one that's going to rule the world. In which God dwelt, and God will incarnate himself again. Come on now. These are mysteries. I'm not pretending to understand them all, but I believe them, and I don't care what anybody else says. It's the truth. Because Brother Branham said so. 2 and 2. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Now notice the patience had to do with them which are evil. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Who are these evil people? They're worshiping God apart from the Word. Now, listen, if that doesn't make you have a problem, I don't know what is. Well, you see, Brother Bill, what is yours? That is my problem. Why do you think I preach the way I do? Word, 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 like a machine gun. Why do you think I take my stand? Where does my grief come from? Guys sneaking around behind me say, read this, leave veils off. Off! They don't even know what I'm saying. They can't differentiate between the saying which is false, God the Son, and the Son of God, and the sons of God. They don't have a clue between the seed and seeds. Patience. You know something? If this is the former and latter rain, which it is, I don't have to be patient anymore. I can be downright hostile against anything that would come against the word of truth and try to hurt you or pervert you. But of course, I'm not supposed to do that. Any sin can come in the church. That's love. Not around here it ain't. Not around here it isn't. Go back then. Who cares what? Grammar hasn't got a thing to do with it. 2 and 19. I know thy works and thy love and thy service and thy faith and thy patience. And thy works and the first to be last, more than the first. There again. And we go to 3 and 10. We're just running through some of these to show you through the Bible. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation. Ha ha! thinking, they're running around trying to make the bride, if they're Branhamites, call it that, just messy people. They're trying to get them all fussed up and impatient. Let's get moving. Let's have gifts. Let's have this. Let's have the other thing. Sure, gifts are fine if you put it in the right place. But I'm going to ask you one question. If Brother Branham couldn't do it in his church, do you expect me to do it in mine? Now, that's not negative. I wouldn't know what to do about it. Before God, I don't know what to do. And I'm not going to mess up fooling with something I don't know about anymore. I thought I had some genuine gifts, which I did at one time. But some of the things I thought were God might not be of God, could be the devil doing it. Yes. Yeah. Well, I won't say something there, but I could really take some hair off some people that ain't here right now. I could. Burn them right to a crisp. They wouldn't believe anyway. 13 and 10, I think it is. Talk about patience. He that leadeth into captivity, into captivity. He that killeth the sword, must be killed of the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. This is for our day again. Okay, the 14th chapter has it in the 12th verse, but you got to read more than that. Here is the patient saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith, even the faith of Jesus Christ. What's he talking about? End time again. There's a patience in here. Don't try to add to it. Don't try to make anything come to pass. If the best you do is shut up, sew your mouth up, put your legs in irons, bind your hands behind your back, and then ask someone to run a Sherman tank over you. At least, bless God, you wouldn't be a pain in the neck or hurt somebody else. I'm not being dramatic. I'm telling you the truth. They can't wait. 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 They want to manufacture. They want to manufacture nothing. See why I preach this way? Just like Brother Branham. Same gospel is the same Holy Ghost. I don't care if it's prophet, teacher, pastor, evangelist. I don't give a rip what it is. It's all the same. Same God. Oh, I just love the teaching, but I loathe the teacher. Well, I got no much use for myself either. It makes two of us. What about Paul here? I'm jealous over your godly jealousy. I've espoused you to one husband, that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest you got anxious. Yeah. By any means a serpent, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And they went wrong in three things. See, what a mess. What a mess. Now listen, it went wrong. Ever since then, people have been trying to figure it out. They've written their books, they messed everything up. Now, let me tell you and show you who the patient people are. How much time we got, son? 15? Oh, wow. Put another tape on. I'm just fooling you. I just kidding you. Let's go to Matthew 24. Now, for as lightning cometh out of the east, verse 27, and shineth even to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. The days when they want to see the Son of Man repeat. The day when you get the manifestation of the two vines, because you cannot have Son of Man without Son of Perdition. And they couldn't wait for it. So the Pentecostals manufactured the restoration, and it was only the restoration of gifts which are deceiving. And bringing the whole world together. Even the Catholics are having gifts of the Spirit, genuine gifts, and kissing the Pope's toe, making him infallible, and praying to the Virgin Mary. Now where is their doctrine led them? If the evidence of the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues, they must take every Roman Catholic that blasphemes the name of God, prostrates themselves before dead people, and are into Spiritism. Hey, listen. Am I blowing like a wind through a hollow barrel in this church tonight? You know we need to pray for anything more in this world? Is a spirit of conviction that the word that I'm teaching from Brother Branham gets in our hearts until we tremble before God. under the horror and indictment of this generation, which ends in the second death, the lake of fire. They've already stood before the white throne. Judgment has been passed. They're only waiting for sentences upon the full amount of evidence, which will tell them how long they're going to be there. God, you know, I'm going to tell you something. I'm glib with words. I would to God I could feel as much as I know is in this scripture. Let me be honest with you. They couldn't wait for it. I read it over here in James, the fifth chapter. And it said over here, be ye patient, therefore, brethren, with the money system as it is. Your wages. What's NAFTA all about? Well, the theory is very good. If we can go down there with all of our factories and those people begin to earn enough money, they can buy what we produce. What are we going to produce if the factories are down there? You talk about a politician hasn't got an answer to any question. Your economists are just as lousy or lousier. Go to your rich men, weep and howl. The system is finished. It's all over. Because every time you turn around, who gets licked in the chops? The poor working guy. I'm not a rabble rouser for the unions. I'm just reading the Bible. It doesn't say go to you unions and you guys that are out there working for a living. The labor is exonerated. So when all hell breaks loose, like the riots you saw in California, we should taste of what's coming. Don't blame the poor guy that's trying to make a buck or two sawing a log. Well, come on. This is my battle. I'm not saying there should be riots. What bugs me is they got to make the law now decide on the basis of criminality, which is riots and all, which they don't want. So those policemen, whether they're right or wrong, were already condemned because they're afraid there'd be a riot. Now let's take it right back. Who's behind it all? The rich man. Come on. You go to war today and your sons die, who send them there to die? Your government, your rich guy, your Clintons and the rest. They wouldn't go. Yeah. Well, some of them went. It made it all the more reason they could tell you go, too. Brother Branham was not a conscience objector. I cannot be either. But I believe one thing, if they make us go and kill, you and I will not answer before God. They will. They're living in pleasure. Now listen, it says here, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Now these things are going on now. I understand Brother Branham told somebody, I can't trace it down, that the coming depression was going to make the old one look like a Sunday school picnic. Could be. Could be. I don't know. It says they're going to be buying and selling and everything else. So I don't know. I can't reconcile everything. I'm not paid to reconcile things. I just don't know all the answers. But I know one thing in this hour right here. It tells me there's a pretty sleazy condition going on, and it's going to have to hit the bride because she's the only one that's going to get this. So therefore, there could be a most horrible pressure come down, which is depression. And it's already in the making. I don't know, I'm just talking now what this all could be. And it says, listen, you have learned to have patience. Be patient, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. His presence. Because he's got to be here to raise the dead, to get the precious fruit. He's got long patience, so you be patient. And it requires more and more patience as his coming draws near. That is a literal second coming to meet him in the air. There's a patience in here that's required. You see? Now, it started back in the garden. She couldn't wait for him. That's what's wrong with the church. Can't wait for him. And at the end, he'll come and say to the foolish virgin, the least and all the rest, of course, included, because they're all in there. Brother Branham put them all in the same pot. I used to know he's my wife, but I don't know his wife anymore. The divorce is taking place. They have to manufacture something. They can't wait for the Holy Spirit to come and get into the church. Not the individual. Head the church. See, they have to get more in their denomination. If it had stayed the way it was back 100 years ago or 50 years ago when Pentecost first started out in this latter day, now see, latter day, when the word began to be preached, if it had stayed like that, she probably wouldn't have had over 50 members today. Now listen, that's right. But they would have been blood washed. They'd have had the power of God in them. Prophet went right by him as a man born out of due season. The world would have been shaken under her tremendous impact of the word of flesh being spoke word by word. They had the chance, turned it down. They did it under Brother Paul. They did it under Arrhenius. They did it under Martin. They did it under Columba, under Luther, under Wesley. And now at the end time, they've done it again. They couldn't hold still. They couldn't take it word by word. But today, why, it's just a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. That's right. Just become nonsense, a laughing block. I think it meant laughing stock. I don't know. A disgrace to the world, a disgrace to God. Now, what's left? God cannot recoup it without a prophet, and they'll turn him down flat as a fritter. In fact, his own presence is here. They're not even embarrassed. They said, "What do you mean, wretched, miserable, naked, and blind? Bless God, we speak in tongues, we're worth millions. We're turning the world upside down. Look at South America. Why, listen, I want to tell you, the Catholics are losing their priests and their people so fast, 10,000 in a lick. Hallelujah! Revival's on. Glory to God." Something wrong somewhere. Either God lied. What about that? Well, praise the Lord. I've got no trouble with these guys. I hope they're all saved. It'd be nice if they're all there. I don't know what's going on. I just know one thing. There's no bride there. A foolish virgin, I will not say one thing. I don't know. But there's only one way for God to do a thing. That's Malachi 4. You can say what you want. I went to a place, three brethren. Well, I'm going to stop there because this is an illustration now of Pentecostal people. This will be number six right here. This is where he talks about a woman who shows more in her looks, her demeanor, her attire, and she's not born again. She doesn't have a thing, as far as they know. But she's a better representative of what a true Pentecostal, a true Spirit-filled person is than all the people in that whole Bible school claim to be. This is what you're going to look at, where Brother Branham now illustrates what is going on under the conditions of this hour, which started way back there and got off the Word. Did she bear the seed that was correct? No, she didn't. Is she doing it now? No way, because you got to go back to original. And remember, Christ was that original seed, came and proved it. Well, everything lines up. Lord bless you. Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, again, we want to thank you for your word of life. We know it's a word of grace, Lord, on the grounds of how it was given, because it was all grace. We didn't ask for it. We didn't know about it. It's also predestination. It's all in your great and divine plan. But we know it's a word of truth, a word of life, for which we are very, very grateful. And we pray, Lord, if we said anything wrong, that we just trust we haven't, Lord. And if our expression concerning things are wrong or too overbearing or bumptious, we pray, Lord, you'll cut it back. Knowing we have only really one desire, to so accent and accentuate the truth here that it might be effective, at least to the extent that it at least blasts our ears and shakes us up to a degree, at least this far. But knowing, Lord, also that it takes your own spirit to put it down deep within us, to give us this patience, Lord, this not turning from the Word. No, 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 never turning from the Word. Waiting, therefore, for the seed to come forth. And we know, Lord, the church could not do it, but there's going to be a bride on earth, yes, that failed where Eve failed, is absolutely going to bring forth that population of the earth, the New Jerusalem, that bride. This is going to be the wind-up, the finality. And we're glad, Lord, that it's true. The other's coming in. having their glory outside the city. But, Lord, what a tremendous privilege. What a tremendous privilege, Lord. It ought to be, Lord, that we either can hardly eat, sleep, or drink or anything in the understanding of what we have and in the patient anticipation, the manifested truth. This is it. And we are persuaded even beyond Paul now that which we've committed unto you, you keep and you perfect that which you start in us until the day which is this day, Lord, which you'll bring forth your blessed ones of the New Testament bride, the second part of the first resurrection. We all come together as spirits in our midst becomes incarnate to us when God himself, Jehovah Elohim, El Elah, that one, you, Lord, the one we recognize and the one we love because we love the Word. We know that we love you. We know we love the brethren. And we know we listen to the messenger. We know, therefore, we listen to you. And, Lord God, this is what you said, and by your grace and by being what we are from you, in you, and for you, Lord, to you, we acquiesce, certainly do agree. We're at the great engagement time on earth, Lord, vows being exchanged. Father, getting ready for the great marriage supper of the Lamb, the catching up. All these things, Lord, we know. And, Father, we don't know them as we ought to know. We don't know as we want to know. We sure know them better than we used to know. But we know one of these days we'll know them as you want them to know. And then going on and through whatever millennia, whatever, Lord, you want, we know there's a bride there. And we're reconciled tonight to know if we're not bride. There's a bride out there somewhere. By the grace of God, we won't stand in her way. And, Lord, if we're bride, then by your grace, we won't stand in our way. We'll be patient right down the line until we see it all over because we know this is the final stages, the earth, and its final rounds, Lord. All these things we know because the prophet taught us, trying to use his very words, to enter into his spirit in this last hour, God, to just get out of the way, let you have full control. Heal the sick amongst us, Lord. Cheer up the lonely, those that are downhearted, O God. Give strength to the weary, Lord. Give real backbone, Lord, to those that are sagging. Those, Lord, can't seem to get anything going right, Lord. Just show them how it is. They got to trust your word. There's no other way. No other way but to trust and obey, just having faith in you, Lord. Let them know. It gets brighter and brighter and greater, and one day it'll all break out there. Father in heaven, we know that. Yes, we do, even, Lord, as we know that the prophet said one day, we'll just take the tablecloth off. It's all be there, all that mess. That's the way we know it is with our own faith, Lord. Seems to be hidden from us, seems to be just there, but yet not there. But, Lord, as we keep moving, one of these days we'll see all those answers go. Teach your people to see that, Lord, to just trust in me, go down that road, believing, knowing that it will work right down to the truth. So, Father, dismiss us now with your love, mercy, and grace, which we know we have, just reaching out our hand to take. And unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you. Sunday morning, 10:30.